your finances, on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's Your Finances on a Higher Power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, fellow traders. This is Dr. Paula T. coming to you from 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. Just like every week, we bring you the best of the best in the philosophy of trading psychology, helping you create uncommon wealth by bringing your finances to a higher power. So let's get started today. What we're going to talk about, now this is not a political message. It is kind of tied into trading. So just bear with me as I explain what I'm going to be talking about. Probably a lot of you listening to this show may recall that the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, was very excited at the beginning of this year to announce that the city of Dallas would be a new financial hub outside of Wall Street. And as such, they were going to open up a new stock exchange, TXSE, Texas Stock Exchange, which is going to be opening July 1st. And I believe he had these interviews on Fox News and Newsmax and a little more conservative stations. I just happened to see one as I was flipping channels. And I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. And then there was articles in the newspaper. I don't know if it was any interviews with the mayor of Dallas. And he, too, was very excited about the new stock exchange, which is going to be located in Dallas. And he also invited people in the investment industry to move to Dallas to help build their new financial hub. So I thought about that because we are looking for a new home base. We're obviously going to head out of California as soon as possible. But I'm still waiting for God to direct me in what direction to go. So over the next couple of weeks in January, I kept seeing these, invitations from the governor and the Dallas mayor. So I thought, well, gosh, maybe this is the answer that I've been looking for, because every time I'm ready to relocate, friends, I ask God to direct me where to go, whether it's just a new apartment or home or into another state. So I thought, well, heck, I will send the governor and the mayor of Dallas and the Texas Stock Exchange my credentials and say, hey, I'd love to move to Texas and help you grow your new financial hub, bringing my business over there with my world-renowned reputation and best-selling books. I thought it would be a nice fit. Plus, earlier in my career, I was the manager of the floor operations for one of the futures exchanges in Chicago, the Mid-Am, and learned how exchanges run inside and out. Now, yes, I know that's years ago, but the premise is still the same. You still have to provide mechanism to record all the bid and offers and all the trades, all the trades that don't match up. But more so, the exchanges, which they have really fallen by the wayside in recent years, exchanges still need to provide programs and products and services for the very people that are going to be trading on those exchanges. So anyway, I sent them all letters and emails detailing all this and said, hey, it would be exciting to come on board with all of you in some way, possibly, and I would be happy to relocate. So what is it now? It's June 14th, 6 months later, over 6 months later, and not one of these people, not one of their staff members, has even sent me a text, much less returned an email, responded to an email saying, no, thank you, we're not interested. Which I found very interesting because they were the ones inviting people in the investment world to come over to Texas and help them build their financial hub. So for a while there, it really kind of confused me. And then I get an email from the person at the Dallas mayor's office who does his scheduling, because I had forgotten. I actually went to his scheduling portal and also sent a message through that. Not that I wanted to meet the mayor, but I thought I gotta get a hold of somebody. So this young man at the Dallas mayor's office responds saying, the mayor has no time to meet with you, which I didn't ask for to begin with. And if you need funding, if you need money to move, let me refer you over to our county services. Okay, so I'm reading and rereading this email from this. Obviously, I'm generalizing here and I'm making an assumption, so I could be wrong. But it appears that this person who responded was young, well, at least younger than me, I know that. And number two, he did not even read my message to the mayor's office. I didn't ask them to send me to county services for food stamps or housing. Well, I blew up. I did. I'll be honest with you. I called him. He actually picked up his phone, and I was pretty abrupt with him. I said, what is the matter with you? I went on to say, 6 months, I have been sending communications to the mayor's office, your boss's office, the governor's office, and the stock exchange, and you're the only one that responds, and you write me as if I'm practically a homeless person, referring me to county welfare services? I said, there's something wrong with you. There really is seriously something wrong with you because you did not read my communication. I own a business. I have a worldwide reputation. I don't need county services. I said, wow, your disconnect to the human experience, your disconnect to not even read any communication that comes into your boss's office is absolutely outrageous. So, and of course, I followed that up with another email, which I also copied to the governor's office. In that email, I thanked them all. And I said, thank you. I said, I used to think that Texas was very friendly and very open and very welcoming. And apparently that is not the case. So I thanked them. And I said, thank you for letting me know that before we relocated. And I did close the email a little, just a little arrogantly, and said, well, it's Texas's loss, because we will not relocate to Texas. We will relocate elsewhere where we're actually, people really want us to be. So I fired that off, and I know I shouldn't have. It was very childish of me, but I just had to get it off my chest. So I had to sit here the last couple of days and say, all right, what is going on here? Because they're still inviting people to come to Dallas. They're still inviting people to come help build their financial hub. So what I had to realize was, and again, this is not political, this is a very good example for traders. So what I came to realize was they were very slick in their presentations. Very, very, which, you know, I would expect of them because they are elected officials. So they've been in the public eye for some time. But they seemed genuine. But they weren't. So I had to step back and say, just because I wanted to relocate and I thought maybe this was a message from God as to where to go, the lack of communication on their end was telling me, you ain't moving to Texas. But I'll be honest with you, I've had other things going on the last, the last couple months. So, it wasn't like a major priority. I'm not in any rush to pack up and move. So when this person from the mayor's office of Dallas responded in the way he did, that just kind of put an end to everything. And I realized that what they were saying is not really their intent. Okay, they don't want someone like me to move to Dallas. And I'm making another assumption here, folks. But if they truly wanted individual traders, one of the staff members would have gotten back to me during the last 6 months, but not one person did. So what they were saying was, we only want special people to come and help us build our financial hub, the new mini Wall Street over in Dallas. But they can't say that, of course, because that would be not nice. So basically, what they're doing is by not responding, the message got through. Okay, I'm a little slow. So it took me a while, but I get it. Even with my reputation and all that I bring and have brought to the investment industry for all these years, it wasn't enough for them. So they, in essence, were being fake. And that is no different than fake traders. So, aha, I had my aha moment, as Mark Douglas used to say, got through my thick head that I'm not the caliber of people that they want. Apparently, because if I was one of their staff members, and I know these three organizations have definitely have plenty of staff to respond to an email, but they didn't. So Texas is off my list. And c'est la vie. So my point being is it just like fake traders, these politicians were saying what they thought they needed to say, but it wasn't their intent. And we're gonna be heading into a break here in a moment. But so what we're gonna cover in part of the show is the same mentality that these people in Texas had is no different than the same mentality that fake traders have. And we will take a break. We'll be right back. Okay, so we're back. So I'm gonna expand on this just a little bit here. So first of all, me sharing this experience, I don't want you to take it in any other way than I was a little slow on the uptake. Okay, I'm only human. And also too, it's not like I expected a response immediately because, they've got a lot of stuff going on, but I didn't think it would be 6 months with nothing, with no response. So anyway, it did not become a priority for me. So it is what it is. I'm not meant to go to Texas. And so that's been crossed off my list. The second, I'm not upset. I'm not annoyed. I'm just, even though I, kind of responded to the mayor's staff member about scheduling, just the level of disconnect from reality, from what I wrote to the mayor's office, the disconnect to the reality of this staff person not reading what I wrote was astounding. So that is what really blew my mind. But it all worked out in a good way because here I am discussing it with all of you folks today because the level of disconnect that that young man at the Dallas mayor's office had from the reality of my communication to him, which was clearly written, not asking for money, not asking for housing or food stamps. I mean, I'm telling him who I am, what I'm going to bring to the table, what I'm going to bring to taxes. I don't know how he extrapolated that into I'm on welfare. Okay. So that's what blew my mind. However, in the next instant, what also came to light was that's exactly what traders do. That's exactly what traders do. The market will show you exactly what you need to know. But because you have a different intent, you have a different agenda than what you are seeing in the markets, you're going to extrapolate that into, oh, well, I don't need to follow my rules because that's what the market's telling me. Oh, I need to get in or I need to get out. And the market is not telling you that at all. So it isn't just younger people that have a disconnect to the information in front of them. It's also all of us, like, hey, it took me 6 months to get it through my brain, but especially with traders. Now, fake traders, especially, and this is something that we've been over before, folks, but I think this example here today kind of brings it home a little better. Because fake traders have convinced themselves that they would, quote, I'll be happy taking $100 in profit out of the market. Dear God, I'll be happy. Just give me $100. That is a completely false statement. There is no trader ever in the history of trading that would be happy with $100 in profit right off the bat. Now, if they've had continued drawdowns and they've had to refund their account numerous times, yeah, they might convince themselves they'd be happy with $100 profit taking, but in reality, they wouldn't because they're still looking to make a living as a trader. So the same with all these people in Texas, the governor, the mayor, and the stock exchange staff, what they said was not their intent. Now, their intent definitely is to grow a financial hub in Texas. That's a fact. And it's a reality. It's going to be happening in 2 weeks on July 1st. That new stock exchange is going to open. But what they were saying was not that they really wanted the ma and pa's or the individual traders there. They wanted something else. So that was a contradiction. Just like the trader saying, I'll be happy with $100 in profit, that's a contradiction. That's a contradiction because you wouldn't be happy because your trading is not going the way you want it to. And that's why you're desperately pleading with the universe or God or whoever you're pleading with just to give you $100. When in reality, you're having drawdowns, you're not successful as to the degree that you want to as a trader, because your intent is not what you've said to yourself. What you're saying to yourself is, I'll be satisfied with something less than what I originally wanted. And it doesn't work that way. That's a closed loop way of thinking. Then you become a fake trader. Because you don't believe in yourself. So a good guess now, looking back, because they're still advertising for investors to move to Texas for this new financial hub, a good guess would be, if we step back and become objective, is, well, they're probably not getting people like me to move to Texas because they blew us off. Okay? So now they may be in the position of a fake trader saying, oh, I'd be happy with $100. Because if they had already gotten the level of investors that they wanted over there in Texas, I don't think they'd still be talking about inviting people. Now, I don't know that for a fact. All I'm saying is, if you look at it from a logistics perspective, you know, I just think that they're going to be very disappointed because there's a lot of us that would have moved there. That would have brought a lot of revenue into Texas, no matter whether we were good traders or not, because no one's going to go to Texas and then leave just because they're still a crappy trader. You know, so the point is that we can look at this situation as, again, what they were saying was not their intent. Their intent, meaning their intent, did not match up with their communications to the general public. Now, this is nothing new. Okay, politicians and CEOs, they do this all the time. Okay, so, and it's not an indictment against anybody. It's just understanding the dynamics of how our minds work. Somebody said something, those three entities said something that I thought I was supposed to be listening to because I am ready to leave California. So for the first couple months when I didn't get a response, I was not taking that into account because I wanted to start packing and get out of here, because I'll be honest with you folks, it's really expensive, like over the top, like never before. And also too, I know my time is done here. So, but that's for another show. So, my point being is that I was looking for answers from God as to where to move. And I thought that was it. Instead of still being open to other areas, I kind of put all my eggs in one basket because I thought, hey, God answered. But he didn't answer because it didn't work out. So that's where you have to be careful and not put all your eggs in one basket, even though nothing happened. I mean, I'm still here in California. But you have to be really careful that you're not so invested in something that you're taking for granted that that is the message that God sent. I hope that makes sense. And another good example is when you are invested in something, then you lose focus. Now, I know that sounds like a contradiction because you have to pay attention to the markets while you're trading. But if you tell yourself, and countless of you know, you have said this to me in our workshops and in our coaching, you said, oh, I believe in my rules. I believe in my rules. The whole time that we're working together, you've been breaking your rules. So you're saying one thing, but your intent is the exact opposite. So that's how you become a fake trader. You say, well, I believe in my rules, but I just because I don't follow them all the time doesn't mean I don't believe in them. Well, yes, it does. You can't believe in your rules and then break them. Because then you're a fake trader. You claim to believe in your rules, which I in essence means you believe in yourself to follow them. Then you don't follow your rules. So that means, in essence, you don't believe in your rules or yourself being able to follow them. That's how it works. So you have to break through the fog here, and that's why I'm here. I'm going to clear away the fog, tear away the veil, and get to work with you. So as we head into break, think about this for a moment, and we will be right back.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on a Higher Power.
Okay, so in this segment, what we're going to talk about is the emotional pain of drawdowns. And this kind of ties into the first two segments because when your intent does not match up with what you are saying to yourself, that you are going to end up in emotional pain because you will have repeated drawdowns. So I'm going to give you another example here. As you, those of you listening to me know, I love giving examples because I want to make it hit home for you in ways that takes you out of a linear perspective with your trading. Now, I have a good friend who fell and shattered his back. Now, he's not paralyzed or anything, but he had to have extensive surgery. So three vertebrae were shattered. So right now he's recovering with two rods on either side of those vertebrae, and then those three vertebrae are fused together with pins and all that. So he's still in a rehabilitation center while his back heals. So he's doing much better, and he's able to sit up, able to sit in a chair, still needs help getting a shower, and going to the bathroom, that kind of thing, because he can no longer like twist his back. Like if you're sitting in a chair and you turn to look behind you, you're not going to necessarily have going to get up out of the chair and go look behind you. You're just going to turn, and that twists your back. Well, the surgery only happened, 10 days ago, so his back has to heal. Now he's out of most of the major pain, but as his body continues to heal, he will get these spasms of pain as the muscles release all that pent-up energy from the fall and the surgery. So as I was sitting there today, chatting with him, he kept gritting his teeth when a spasm of pain would come. And I would say, why are you gritting your teeth? And he said, I just want the pain to go away. And I said, well, you need to let it go away. And he said, well, what do you mean? I'm not stopping it from leaving. I said, yes, you are. You're trying to control the pain. And in essence, you're making it worse. You're gritting your teeth. You're saying, oh, I don't want to feel this. When in reality, you have to feel the pain and let it go. You can't control the pain because you are inhibiting your back from releasing that negative energy of the pain, which is just, your nerve endings firing away as they're healing from the damage and the surgery. And he said, well, how do you suggest I do that? And he's kind of looking at me like I had two heads. And I said, when you feel that spasm coming on, say out loud, thank you. It's time for you to go now. Or thank you, dear Jesus, the great healer. Take my pain away. Or some similar affirmation. Because the longer you control the pain, attempt to control the pain, the more energy you're giving the pain. Instead of saying, okay, I no longer need the pain. It's made its point. I can let it go now and let those muscles start to heal. Now, I know you're probably sitting there saying, what the heck is she talking about? A broken back has anything to do with trading. Well, for those of you that have worked with me, you know what emotional pain is like when you have drawdowns. You know it is almost a physical pain. And it literally can be because your whole body is tense as you're looking at your dwindling equity. So the way to remove that negative energy associated with any pain, and especially the emotional pain of drawdowns, is to number one, accept that you're in pain. It's like, damn, this really hurts. I am in pain because I've lost more money in the market. When you can accept that, then you can start deflating the pain from future drawdowns if they happen again. So just like I said with my friend, when you feel that pain spasm coming on, whether it's physical, emotional, or financial, you could say, okay, thank you. I no longer need you in my life. I am letting you go. It really is as simple as that. I am letting you go. Because you have to ask yourself, What is that emotional pain of all those drawdowns, whether it's one drawdown or numerous ones? What is that pain doing for you, other than making you feel a little better because you're beating yourself up? And we all know that there is an element of that. So this gets back to the main premise of what in your mental environment is serving you in the most appropriate manner for you to take consistent profit. Being in emotional pain over drawdowns? Is that helping you take profit? I don't think so. And if it does help you make profit, please call me up and tell me how. I'd love to hear that. So, just like my friend, you can use, as I mentioned to my friend, you can use any deity you want and say, dear God, I no longer need this pain in my body. Please take it away. Or dear Jesus, the great healer, I no longer need this pain in my body. Take it away. Or Buddha, or Allah, or whoever you subscribe to, or the angels, Padre Pio, Saint Pio. He was a Roman Catholic priest in the 1960s who developed stigmata, which, for those who are Catholic, that is the bleeding of the hands and feet, significant, symbolizing Jesus on the cross. And at the time, the church thought, no, we got to hide this guy away. But over time, he really performed a lot of miracles, and that's how he became a saint. And I will tell you, I think I have on a previous show, my church that Mark and I went to in Scottsdale, Arizona, St. Anne's, they had, and I forget the name of the group, but it's an organization where they bring holy relics to churches and schools and that kind of thing. These are authentic holy relics. It could be a piece of fabric that the saint wore, or a piece of bone or hair, or something they touched. And they're very, very small, less than the size of a dime usually. And they're enclosed in glass, and but there's a description below each one of these. And so Saint Anne in Arizona brought this group to the church. And at the time, Mark and I were having some trouble in our marriage. I'll be honest, we're only human. And so I went to this event at the church. And before I went, I told Mark where I was going. Now, Mark was not really, he didn't know anything about this because he wasn't raised Catholic. And he just thought it was interesting, but he wasn't really into it. Well, at the same time, his youngest brother was having some very serious health issues. And I told him, I said, well, you should really come and see some of these relics and ask the saints for help. Yeah, he wasn't really into it. Anyway, he did come with me. So, I went and talked to a couple of the saint relics. And I say talk to him. I said a prayer there, especially my namesake, Saint Bernadette. And then when I got to Saint Pio, I came to him for help. I told him my marriage was in trouble and I really needed his help. And I picked up the relic. And it was like burning fire in my hand. It was so incredulous. It was a miracle. And so I thanked Padre Pio and I put it down. And then I went into the church and just kind of meditated for a while. So I didn't see Mark, for a while because he was still at the exhibit. And then I walked out and we met at the car. We didn't say anything to each other on the way home. And when we got home, he told me that he had gone to the relic of Saint Pio. And he had asked St. Pio to help his brother. And he said he touched the relic and it was hot. Not room temperature. It was hot. And I told him I experienced the same thing. So long story short, the point is that my marriage improved after that. And also Mark's brother got better. And at the time he was looking, you know, for a kidney transplant, and then his health turned around and he never needed a kidney transplant. Now you may just say this is coincidence or this is wishful thinking, and that's your belief. That's fine. I'm not here to dissuade you from that. All I'm saying is if you have emotional pain from drawdown, then you need to talk to whatever deity you think is listening to you or is going to help you and say, dear saint, dear angel, dear God, dear Jesus, dear Buddha, dear whoever, I no longer need this pain. Take it away. And then that lets them know you're ready to change. You're ready to embrace a higher version of yourself. This is how God works. This is how Jesus, the great healer, works. This is how all the saints work. Padre Pio, I know, has healed several people in my life. So just give it a thought. Think about it, because this is what this show is all about, is bringing you a sense of taking your finances and yourself to a higher power, as it has been written for you and about you by our Heavenly Father. Take a breath, relax, and we'll see you back after the break. Okay, so as we end this show here today, in this segment, I want to remind you folks that, you know, Mark Douglas was probably one of the most spiritual people I've ever met, outside of, you know, some notable people that he and I met along the way, such as the Dalai Lama and Amma from India. Who else? Neil Donald Walsh, the author of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, Rinpoche Roche, I believe. I never know how to say his name. But, you know, Louise Hay, people like that that we met in Chicago before they became famous. And he truly had a high level of connection to his idea of God. Now, did we share the same idea of God? Of course not. No one does. All right. No matter how close you are with someone, you can have similar perspectives. But my idea of God was definitely not Mark's idea. Our perspectives were similar enough that it was cohesive between the two of us. All right. So we could have these great, lengthy philosophical discussions well into the wee hours of the morning. And that's what I miss. I do miss that. But I may find someone else in the future that I can share that with. So one thing, some things we need to keep in mind is, you know, there are always moments when wellness is going to escape us, whether it's mental wellness, when I mean you can't think straight as a trader, or financial wellness. I mean, there's moments, we're going to have moments of pain and suffering to some degree. But at those moments, that's when we have to be open. Those are the moments when we have to allow ourselves, give ourselves permission to ask for help. Now, I know a lot of us feel that we can do a lot for ourselves, and we should do whatever we can for ourselves, because God helps those who help themselves. But that's just preparing us. That's just for preparing us to turn to whoever we feel will truly heal us, our higher power, or that higher deity, and ask for their skill to aid us along our journey to wellness. So remember to turn into life, turn into God, turn to the angels, turn to whoever you feel comfortable with, and ask them for guidance. Ask them for help. That's what they're there for. They were here on earth originally. Jesus was here. He's the Son of God. All the saints were here originally. They all went home to God, and now they have even deeper powers to help us with. So here's a quote from Hazrat Khan. Beloved Lord, Almighty God, through the rays of the sun, through the waves of the air, through the all-pervasive life in space, purify and revivify me. And I pray, heal my body, heal my heart, heal my soul. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? It's one of my favorite authors, the poets, I guess I should say. Now, I know sometimes some of you have contacted me and said, well, that's all well and good, but what if I don't make it as a trader? What if I can't make a living as a trader? Okay, well, what's the worst that can happen? You go back to your other career that you used to have? There's a lot of people that haven't made it as traders. There's no shame in it. There's nothing wrong with it. Maybe it's just not the right time for you to be trading. And I've worked with quite a few traders like that, where they did it 20 years ago and it didn't work out. And then they worked at another career, and then they went back to it, and then it worked out. So sometimes it's just timing, folks. Okay? So I think this would be a good point for me to read from the book of Luke. And this is one of my all-time favorite passages. And it is Book of Luke 12:22. It starts, and it's about trusting in God. So he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Your life is a greater thing than the food, and the body is a greater thing, more so than the clothing. Consider the birds, the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storeroom nor barn, yet God feeds them. So how much more value are you than them? Consider how the lilies grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the fields, which flourishes today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more are you? You of little faith. So as for you, do not seek what you will eat or what you shall drink, because your Father knows what you need of all these things. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be given to you and much more. So do not be afraid, little flock, for it has pleased your Father to give you the kingdom. Now, I read this from time to time when I'm having a down day, shall we say, or my spirit is low. Or, as my mother used to say, I just got the blues, and you don't even really know why. And that passage has uplifted me more. So many times I can't even begin to tell you. So as we close out this week's show, I hope I gave you some insight into giving yourself permission to ask for help when needed, as needed. And you know where to reach me? You can reach me at paulatweb.com, 760-636-4290, and take advantage of the introductory call. I think you'll find it quite enjoying. So I wish for you a great week full of promise and prosperity, and we will see you next week with another wonderful show. God bless.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.